There's a lot of evil influences all around us, including that evil principle that's inside of us. But yet God claims to be greater than all of that, greater than the evil influences that come from without, greater than that old evil nature inside of us. He's a jealous God. And therefore, when He makes His people willing in the day of His power, He gives them the Spirit of God so that they may be able to discern, have discernment to know good from evil. The Spirit of God guides us into all truth as we trot along this pilgrim pathway. And the Spirit of God gives us the victory that we need in this world to proclaim a good testimony for the glory of God. I can't say enough of how sorry I am for my eating habits the last years, because God has showed me how evil that is. I wish some of you could stand up and tell us about that music you've been listening to for the past year. I wish you could just get honest and just tell the whole congregation. Some things you can't tell because they're so filthy. But you prance around here and I ain't got no peace. Well, tell us why you haven't got no peace. Why don't you say something like, I ain't got no peace because I'm listening to country music and kind of enjoy it when I'm listening to it. And by all means, if you are saved by the grace of God, you will belch it out yet. You'll stand up and say what a detestable, hellish, hateful kind of living that was, to slip around and listen to that rot. I don't understand people that just try to slip their sins out of the way in some corner somewhere and go about. I'll tell you what the problem is, friend. You ain't really convicted of it yet. Buddy, when you see how rotten you are in the sight of God, you'll begin to warn others. You know, a good testimony about how often you listen to country music, why every time your daddy run down the road and every time your mama went out to the clothesline, it may save somebody else's soul from hell, but you're so full of stinking pride, you'd hate to let us know. I'm going to tell you, parents, it's a run of country music in this building. Now, you sit around like an imbecile if you want to. I'm going to tell you one thing, son. There's something wrong with these kids. They don't want to serve God. There's something wrong with them. They ain't got something to say for Jesus. There's something quenching it. And I'll tell you one thing, it makes me sick every time I hear about this sneaking around and a listening to this music and a loving this rot by a bunch of God-hating rebels singing songs, and half of them are filthy songs. And I wonder what parent is the instigator of it all. Your sins are showing up in your children. I wonder what everybody is listening to around this church. And I wonder when we're going to get enough of grace of God to stand up and say, you know, for a long time I couldn't have no peace with God. You always talk about things that sound good. You need to get down to the real problem. There ain't nobody having no peace with God Almighty listening to no kind of mess like that.
Amen.
It's impossible to have peace. It's absolutely against godly assurance to give anybody any kind of assurance. And I don't care whether you, why don't you tell us how many times your little nabby fingers turned that radio over there and how you sit back and loved every song that them cowboys sung. Something wrong with anybody, praise God, wants to be a cowboy. Son, we're Christians. And I said a long time ago, these keychain toting crowd around here with these hats on them and all that kind of mess, that's clear signs, son. They got some hell in their life somewhere. But the Holy Ghost of God ain't never told them to follow the attire of this godless bunch of rebels out here singing these love songs. Parents, you may ought to keep a tune on that radio and find out where you're finding it. You get in the van, all of a sudden it pops on. You get in your car, and all of a sudden it pops on. And out of innocent thing, well, how'd you get to that? It might ought to pay you to check it out. And some of you just two goodies around here has been raised in this church. I'm just waiting on you to stand up with a broken heart and just tell how low down sorry you was. And why come you couldn't ever have no peace with God? You don't have to. I can't confess all the other sins of my mind and all from my refusing to control my appetite. But I can tell you one thing, praise God. I sure am sorry about it. And I sure do the best I can to keep anybody else from following the path that I've followed these years. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't know the day, bless God. I just deliberately took my hands or my body and went into sin. I don't know nothing about no kind of lifestyle like that. I've done some things that's wrong, but I didn't know it when I'd done it. And as soon as I found it out, I was ready to confess. I don't know nothing about this life. And by the way, if God saves you from it, you ought to be telling us about it. Because you know what? There's somebody else still sitting up here that loves it. I'm telling you, parents, you better get onto the house and search them drawers and up under them dressers and in between them mattresses and every nook. You'll ought to find you another tape. You'll ought to find out it ain't got "Oh, How I Love Jesus" on it. You'll ought to find out, praise God, there's some trash up in your house. I wouldn't be afraid to look. Nobody want me looking in their mess. Get out of the house. You don't live with me. That's my house. I pay the bills there. I got a right to go anywhere I want to go. Down in the toilet, if I please. I wouldn't let them hide a bunch of junk around. And by the way, if you've given us a reason to be suspicious, then if you've got right with God about it, you don't bother you for us to check it. Anybody don't like to be checked out because you're still a deceiver. It don't take long for people not to trust somebody that just keeps on violating the laws. They that are after the flesh, what are you minding? And by the way, folks, you can't help yourself. If you ain't got the Spirit of God inside of you, son, that music is so appealing to you, you can't hardly bear it. Wherever you work at, buddy, you just thank God they play it. All the day long. And you know why? Because you ain't got nothing in you bigger than you. I'm going to tell you one thing. A song may come across my mind, and it does. And I may be out in the public place and hear it, and it does. But I ain't never heard it one time that other power didn't rise up and despise it because it was against the holy God. Never. I've been down enough dark highways and running back and forth here and there right by myself. Son, that nature, that new nature inside of me, would subdue that old nature, not cause me to ramble and roam the radio stations looking for trash that I can listen to in the middle of the night. I'm telling you, friend, you better think about it. Everybody sitting around, well, they're such good people, such good young people. I wonder what's wrong with them. Ask them, tell them to come on out and tell you the truth of what they were really doing. And I know that's the kind of thing we want to shut our eyes. Oh, I don't want to hear that preaching. Listen to me. It's a good thing to confess when it'll bring another rat out of the corner. See, long as two or three or four or five in here has got the same old sinful problem, they get to thinking, well, you know, praise God, this is kind of normal for Christians. But you get one or two woke up around here, it may bring some conviction on the others. I mean, since you made a profession, what have you told people? What's been the difference in your life? I mean, how many, praise God, if you know since you said you got saved that you used to listen to country music and, oh, you were such a, you were so blind and now that you see it so clear, you just can't imagine. How many of you told? Or you just kind of slipped in? No wonder your profession ain't going to amount to a hill of beans. Just let me keep on digging the Bible, son. I'm going to roll you out, belly up again. You're going to be laying there afraid to death. You're going to go to hell. You watch what I tell you. Buddy, God says, confess your sin. And if you ever get the grace of God in you, confess your sin, you're going to do. I don't care how embarrassing it is. What do you think? You can just roll it out of the way. We'll find out. Son, you'll grow to one day you'll hate me so bad you can't wait to get out and get out of the presence of this place. I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. When God saved me, I know some things He saved me from. And I went to tell His men, I ain't got nothing to say out soul winning. Son, I could think of 1,000 things God changed me in when He saved me. I'm talking about when He first saved me. When I'm talking about when I ain't been saved but just a few weeks. And but I had full enough sense to know that every time I stood at a sinner's door and told him what I loved, son, he would love in the same thing. And I could mention enough things and hope that God would bring conviction on him. But praise God, I'm going to tell you one thing. If some of you had some fuzz on your back sticking out of your shirt, I'd come in front of you and start thinking you're an angel. You just act like you ain't never been given no real bad evil. You know what? God ain't never saved nothing for some real bad people. Good men go to hell, and bad men that confess get to go to God's heaven. I'd think about that for you. I'd think about it, buddy. When you get right on something, you just can't wait to confess it. Just can't wait to say, praise God. Lord, I see it now. Oh, it's so bad. No, I don't want to eat like that no more. And I don't want to be out of control like that no more. And oh, I don't want to be a bad testimony no more. And oh, I'd like to find everybody and say, oh, I'm sorry, I've been wrong. We might not have another testimony, but there again, You would testify because I put it in your mouth. I got to burp you and everything else to get you. I wish God, I'd be glad when God starts doing something around here. Be glad when somebody ain't got to put a disc in your back to get you to say what you're supposed to say, like a computer or something. Just put it in there and program it out so you'll say all the right things. And you need to get a little touch of God. You need to get some help from the Lord. You need to see sin as exceedingly sinful, hateful, damning, awful. By the way, it wouldn't hurt you young people all to be amongst each other and say, hey, you know, praise God, before God saved me, I was having a problem here, I was having a problem there. And I'm not talking about telling anything. It ought to be told. But some things can be told, you never know. You know, I've been helped by a lot of things by somebody else confessing. I say, wow.
Amen.
Praise God, I ain't never thought about that. That's right. You're right, man. That's wrong. You never know, but if you walk around act like you ain't never had no sin, the Bible said he to say he has no sin calls God a liar. Well, let's get on gluttony. But I do want you to know, and I'm going to prove it to you as long as God lets me live. Son, I found out this is a sin. And by the good grace of God. And by the way, son, how do you expect God to help you if you don't go ahead and put yourself on the front line? Sink or swim. Grace or no grace. Stand or fall. God said, as he's taking a stand by faith, I'll help him. It's sin of gluttony. For the past few messages, we've showed several things here. And now we're looking at the awfulness of the sin of gluttony. Or let me say it like this, the awfulness of eating to the excess. Eating more than your natural body can digest and properly use in any given sitting or in any one given day. Now, that's the awfulness. That's what gluttony is eating to the excess or drinking to the excess. Now, the glutton loves the pleasing of his appetite better than the pleasing of God. And you know why? I know, because I've been there. I didn't think about God when I was filling myself up. I didn't think about God as I should have. I realized it was dulling my mind, but oh, I wanted to please my appetite more than I wanted to please God. And that's what makes the flesh pleasing the worst idol that's ever been set up against the Holy God. A glutton, each day and every day, he delights in what he's going to eat. More so than he delights in holy exercises. Oh, what a shame, but it's true. His thoughts are more frequent and sweeter concerning his appetite and the foods that he'll be able to taste or have tasted than it is concerning God or godliness. He puts forth a lot of labor to please that old flesh, and he'll do very little to make any progress in sanctification. You know the best way to know you got grace? If you grow in grace. You know, God's not a dead God, and anything he does for us, he makes it alive in us. And the best way you can know is not remember a date, not remember the circumstances of your profession, but just look in your heart and see if there's an ongoing, steady progress of growing in the grace. That is a command of God, to grow in grace. Now, the Bible calls these people, it says, whose God is their belly. In other words, they mind earthly things. They're caught up, they've been given an appetite by an almighty God, but they forget or fail to know that God also give them a reason to control that appetite. My appetite was to never be in control of me. The reason that God gave humanity was to be in control of his appetite, but I was the very back. My appetite put down my reason, and my appetite sit on the throne of my life, and I've been eating as much as I want, as often as I want, and very rarely did I slack off any except that I felt bad or sometimes would be feel so guilty about my abilities to function that I would try somewhat, but it wasn't long. Appetite was controlling and ruling again. And I can say by the grace of God since January the 1st, and we're here in the middle of February, that I've had less than half of the mind battles Since I decided to put my reason back into place, God has honored that, and my mind has been a lot cleaner. My mind has been fixed on godly things a lot more. I mean, so much more because of setting some things right. You cannot harbor sin, even ignorantly, without it affecting your spiritual life. And I thank God for that. Now, gluttons, they despise this suffering part, or the crucifying of the flesh. Mortify the deeds of the body. Oh, some things are all right, and some things we're willing to do, but all this thing of eating, this thing is so natural to all of us. Oh, it's almost like a plague if we have to think about mortifying it, or not allowing it to eat certain foods, or stopping it when reason says you've had enough. You know, it's folks, it's just a hard thing to make a grocery list, ladies, and prayerfully get what reason says you need instead of what appetite says you want. I'm finding it's more and more difficult once you get your eating. I mean, I'm taking in half the food that I took in. I mean, I've cut my consumption down to half. Now, I know you can't see nothing yet, and you say, praise God, what's going on? I don't know what's going on. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm eating less than half what I eat. And sooner or later, praise God, I don't know if it's going to all roll off at one time or what's going to happen. I hope not. It'll break my foot or my wife's one when it does. But I don't know what's going to happen. But I know this. I'm consuming less food. But then the more I try to obey, the more I see where there's a lot of room still for improvement. Our bellies are such devouring idols that it swallows up much more by intemperance and excess than all the other idols in the world calls for. We mentioned that gluttony is self-murder. Now, it doesn't kill suddenly, but it does kill surely. Now, reading about a physician in the 1500s, he said this. He said that most diseases came from bad eating habits. And he even went on to say this as I read his article, that there'd be less than 1 in 100 who got started wrong with their kids that did not die from overeating related diseases. In other words, once they ever get started, once that disease is ever connected in the body, it may take years and years and years, but it will finally destroy them. This matter of excess. Oh, listen to me, folks. Gluttony won't let you die easy. It'll make you die hard. It'll torment you with some disease. You know, it's a great blessing of God to get to leave this world in good shape. Great blessing of God to get to leave this world, just live and serve God and then die the next day. It's a very plague and thing when you're tormented by an ongoing pain or sickness or disease that eats the life out of you, dries your flesh up, and makes your bones rattle. Oh, it's terrible. And much of it comes from this matter of overeating. It's amazing how this society has turned to medicine as the answer. Give me a pill. Give me a fix. I don't want to fix the root. I just want to fix something that'll keep the fruit down some. Give me something where I can eat and enjoy my appetite and let it rule and still feel good enough to live. How sad that is. Now, just because we eat to the excess and we don't feel it quickly, we're prone to do that all the days of our life. Especially if you're the type that burns it off and you don't show a lot of weight gain. You really think, boy, I've got this thing whipped. Hey, listen to me. Excess is excess whether it shows up on the outside. Folks, it's not the excess on the outside that kills a man. It's the excess on the inside that destroys him, that starts that disease of working and putrefies his blood and pollutes it so that that blood cannot keep his body happy, healthy. Overeating turns the blood into a defile type mixture, saline, watery type solution, and therefore it cannot cause the lamp of your life to burn as it ought to burn. And little by little, as little as we notice it, we lose our ability to function. We get so far gone we don't realize how it used to be, and we don't even have any desire to recover unless some kind of sickness. Most people that get serious about their health it's already too late.
The damage has already been done. Now, I mentioned some distempers like comas, abnormal drowsiness, strokes, the palsy, convulsions, epilepsy, dizziness, inflammation of membranes in the nose and in the throat, headaches, and many other things like tuberculosis, pleurisy, are caused by excess in eating. Faintings and things of that nature can be traced to these excrements that are hung in your system, in your lower bowel tract, and rotting and putrefying and clinging to your walls and breeding diseases in our body that comes from excess. Pain in the pelvis area, ulcers, worms. You know, that's something you don't hear often about today, but that's still a problem in some people, is worms. Liver problems, the jaundice, abscesses, water accumulation in various joints of the body are usually caused by bad blood, and that bad blood is caused by more food being put in than your body can handle, and the excess of it putrefying, and the poisons and toxins of it getting in your blood, little by little, breaking down your blood. Fevers, infections, most of the time are caused by long excess in eating. Just eat a while and eat on and you'll feel bad. Your fever will go up and down. You know, there's a lot of sickness on account of this eating and so forth. Gouts, hysterical effects, diseases of the eyes, and other things are brought on by this gluttony and excess in eating. You say, well, a lot of people don't eat much and they have a problem. Well, I can't answer all that, but I know this. Hey, once the blood gets bad, if you're 6 years old and it gets bad, I don't care if you're eating right the rest of your days, you may or may not recover. And in most cases, folks, you can read all these miracle solutions you want to, but out of a million people, only happens to about two. Oh, I read where if you do this and do that, boy, it'll revivalize you, and you get on this and get on that. Hey, listen to me. Certainly it did somebody, but it don't for most people. Most people never get a full recovery. How sad it is. We found out that gluttony is also a deadly enemy to the mind. Oh, it deprives us of the ability to think clearly, to think soundly, to think godly. Oh, when our mind gets dull, we can't study, we can't meditate, we cannot listen to preaching. Oh, how miserable some are when they come to the house of God. Their bellies are so full, they're so bloated, their bodies are so wore down on the inside, they're carrying so much sludge inside of them that they cannot even stay awake when you're preaching the very words of life to them, and much of that comes from excess and gluttony. Oh, gluttony is an enemy to diligence. Oh, how many today could not function, could not work hard, did not feel like working hard because their body is not strong because of an excess of eating and poisons in their blood, and therefore they're not as healthy, they're not as vigorous as they need to be. Gluttony is the immediate symptom of a carnal mind. Oh, when you get into gluttony, it's because our minds are running in the carnal vein. We're thinking more about our flesh than we are the things of God. And you know, the Bible said to be carnally minded is death, not life, to be carnally minded. Oh, and many other sins all happen around this eating to the excess. Gluttony is the breeder and feeder of many and maybe all other lust. Gluttony pampers the flesh by feeding it and then makes it a sacrifice for its lust. Gluttony is a base and beastly kind of sin. Oh, how sad it is that I've found a great part of my happiness in the last few years by my appetite, by looking for the next meal, for the next time to feed my belly and to feed my faith. Oh, how sad that is. To live for years without getting hungry, it must be a sin. In other words, keeping so much food in you so constantly that you never really ever get real hungry is a sin. It's a beastly kind of sin. Gluttony is a devourer of the creatures of God. How sad that so many creatures have to yield up their life to satisfy excess in this country. Gluttony is also a very unthankful sin. What it does, it takes the mercies of God and spews them back in His face. God has provided us with plenty, but He always intended for a reason to determine what was plenty and not the size of my belly
or the type of appetite that I had. It's sad when flesh is strengthened by that which God provides us to eat. Then it turns around and fights as long as it can against God Almighty. Gluttony is a sin that turns the mercies of God into a snare, and most certainly our deadly ruin when we misuse them. Gluttony is a time wasting sin. I said about that. Think about all the time that's spent, the money, the hours spent making money that's laid out to please the throat. Then think about all the time people spend in preparing the meals. Think about all the time that is spent actually feasting on the food. Think about how much people spend in the type of a laxative of some kind, whether it be natural or from a drug, to try to get out what they packed in their body. You don't think God made us live off laxatives, do you? You don't think God gave us sent us in the world with a body that would malfunction? Well, certainly some people have a problem with their system, and they were born that way, but that's not the normal. Normally, we're supposed to be able to pass our food along unless we've abused our body. Think about all the money that's spent to cure the diseases that is caused by excess in food. All the time that's lost in nourishing the sick. All the time, all the money that's spent on untimely deaths, and oh, how sad it is. Gluttony is certainly a thief and a time-wasting sin. Gluttony will rob you of your estate and will devour you that which God has given for better uses. Gluttony will make you forget that you've got to give an account to God for every penny you give. Every dollar that God gives me, I'm going to give an account of it one day, and how sad that I'm going to answer to God, at least in this life, because I've confessed and asked God to keep me from it. But I've spent a lot of money on excess, and what didn't go down bellies went out the back door. That money could have been given to missions and many other things for the glory of God. But when you're up under the power of the flesh, you don't even think like it. You don't even think about your brother in other places that may be suffering. Gluttony is a great enemy to the common good. And oh, how leaders of this nation ought to speak against it so we wouldn't have such a sick and a weak nation. Gluttony and excess is a sin greatly aggravated by necessities of the poor. You know, there's a lot of poor people still. And even though we may can't find them right here around our little place, but, you know, somewhere, someplace, the missionaries could use some extra money to help out some poor people, to feed some hungry people, some people that don't get enough to eat. They don't get enough food to satisfy their bodily needs, but they can't because they're too poor. But how sad that some saints feast themselves deliciously every day while another saint is somewhere begging just for the least bit of morsel to satisfy his hunger. Think about how many cast their extra to the dogs, while thousands would beg for one bite of food. We shall be judged concerning our feeding the poor. We'll be judged because we're the members of the same body, and therefore, because we live so deliciously, we don't suffer at all for those who have little. The Apostle Paul said, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. We cannot excuse ourselves for not relieving the poor. Hey, and if we relieve some of the poor, then there's some more to be relieved. We need to think about that. And I want God to help me to be more thoughtful and more ready to give unto those who have a need and to those who are wise enough to spend it correctly. As long as there are any of God's people in distress, that makes gluttony and excess a greater sin. As long as there's one person in this world that belongs to God that has not enough to eat, it makes our sin of this luxurious living a greater sin, because there's somebody somewhere that needs it. Deuteronomy says, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart. You notice God said, it's the land I give you. Otherwise, you wouldn't have nothing if I had to give it to you. He said, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand up from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him,
and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanted. How often the poor are oppressed so we can satisfy our luxurious appetites over here in America. Oh, abundance. Oh, it has hard bargains, these men who after this abundance. Oh, they make men toil like horses. And men out there is going to work all week and they can scarcely get enough money to buy bread for their families. But notice what the landlords have been doing. Jacking that rent up, boy. Just keep right on jacking it up. The fella ain't making no more money. He can't hardly make ends meet. You'd be surprised how many people right now in Stanley County are looking for a place to move, not because they don't like the location, not because they don't like the house. They got to find somewhere cheaper to live. They don't make enough money to pay the high rent that's being charged them by their greedy landlords. Oh, my. It's sad. These landlords consume the fruit of other men's labor on their devouring flesh, boy. They rob the poor blind. They think nothing of their inability to pay and think nothing of telling them to move on so they can get another one in there that'll pay them the high dollar that they demand so they can spend their extra monies on their old flesh is going to rot in the grave before long. Gluttony is also a great sin because many of God's people are being oppressed in other parts of the world. Some are being deprived of the very necessities of life. Now, if that's so, is it right for you and I to waste over here? Should we go to the extreme and blow money away over here when others are being deprived of the very necessities of life? Amos declares this, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. Ye that put far away the evil day and caused the seed of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. They chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. They drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph." In other words, they're living good, but they're not even thinking about their afflicted brethren. Not even thinking about those who are living on a meager, poor income and can't hardly make ends meet and would be nice to have a little extra gold. No, they're too busy laying back on their couches. They're too busy eating the lambs of the flock. They're too busy feasting in a high-class way. And oh, listen to me, when it was a time for humiliation, oh, they were given up to fleshly luxury. Folks, listen to me, the way America's going, it's time for us to be humble before God and praying. Not living in a luxurious way. Isaiah says this, "And in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. And behold, joy and gladness." God said, "I call you to mourn and weeping." And then God said, "I look down and what I hear. I heard joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And it was revealed in my ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till you die, saith the Lord of hosts." Oh, and by the way, folks, do we think America can get away? Can America sin as she's been sinning? Can America feast her flesh like she's been feasting it and escape the judgment of God? Why, certainly not. Luxury is a sin that is so unseemly for men who are in such great misery. Think about the multitudes not even saved. And they're not even in church tonight. They're not even thinking about being saved. Oh, if men had a true sight of their misery, and a true sight of death and judgment, and a true sight of the dreadful God they offend, oh, they would perceive that it'd be better for me to fast and pray than it would to go out and eat on the town for $50 a plate. Or eat some great big meal and throw the scrap to the dogs. Think about men who are unpardoned tonight, unsanctified, in the power of Satan. Hey, listen to me. Maybe you sit here tonight and you still take every chance you got to gratify your flesh some way or another. It may not be on the music I spoke about earlier, but some way or another, it may be dirty magazines, pictures, pornography, and a number of other things. Hey, you know why you want to go ahead that way? You're too blind to see where you're going to be in just a short amount of time. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, where you're going, it won't be any books. Where you're going, it won't be any of these things that satisfy and gratify your flesh and fill your head with evil. Oh, it'll be long, your body that you live to satisfy. Oh, that old body that said, oh, that preacher, he needs to mind his own business. And, he don't know what I'm doing. I'll tell you one thing, I don't know what you're doing, but God Almighty knows everything you're doing. And we may not never find out your iniquity, but I'll tell you one thing, God Almighty already knows it. But that means little or nothing to somebody who lives for their flesh, who does not love the things of God. You know, it's impossible to love the things of God until God spreads His love abroad in your heart. Oh, you can think, oh, preacher, I've got it now. I enjoy it. Oh, I think I'm okay now. Yeah. Oh, no, friend. Oh, by and by. Oh, you'll never be able to love the things of God and hate your old loves until God works that miracle of divine grace. You'll find out one day, friend, it may be too late to join the church and making your profession and making all of your visiting and all of that. Let me tell you something, folks. There's some of you in here, it's just like a plague for you to go visit. You're about as interested in visiting my dog is. You have as much concern for a soul, praise God, as the rat down there in the hole has for a soul. Oh, you're just falling in the traces. You're just following a group of people. And in your heart of hearts, you think it's the most foolish thing. You think it's folly. You think it's nonsense. You think it's a thousand things you could do wiser than to spend your time running up and down the road offending people and upsetting people and disturbing their nights out there. Oh, you'll never love that which God loves until He does a work of grace in your heart. How sad that rich men, wealthy men, unsaved men, unpardoned men, unsanctified men, oh, they're ready to be damned if they die, but they're taking every day that comes by to satisfy the lust of their flesh. This is so foolish, isn't it? Men ought to be crying mightily to God. Oh, listen to me. If I still love sin, I'd be crying, God, please. God, take that love out of me. Oh, God, help me to hate it. Oh, is something wrong with me if I don't hate that which put your Son on the cross? Oh, God, you hate sin so bad that you'll let men burn for eternity. And oh, I don't hate sin like that. Oh, God. The Bible said we have not because we ask not. Oh, we have not. Men ought to be crying mightily to God and hope that God's wonderful grace would prevent their misery. The Bible said, let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land of the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Ain't no solemn assemblies no more. Bunch of worldlings come to church looking like it more like it going to a ball game on a Saturday evening, sitting around the house of God chewing candy and eating candy and chewing bubble gum, paying no attention to God Almighty, refuse to dress up to go down to the house of God, have no respect for God Almighty. Oh, instead of America calling a solemn assembly, oh, we're just poking God in the face every day we live by making a joke out of His house and out of the place where we hear preaching. Gluttony is such a great sin because of the will and delight that you put in it, in committing it. You know, the sweetest, most voluntary, beloved sin is the greatest sin. That which you love and think about the most that God hates, that's your greatest sin. That which stirs your flesh up and, oh, brings peace to your heart, that's the sin that's great. Few sins are more pleasant and loved than eating. You'll find very few people that don't love to eat something or love to drink. The sin that you repent of the least is the worst sin. You know that sin you're always trying to make excuses for, like I've done for all these years. Well, you know, eating, God's giving me an appetite, and you know, and it just never, I mean, simple as it is, folks,
It never dawned on me like it is this year, but God said, son, I give you a reason to control your appetite. Oh, boy.
Hedging, making excuses. Oh, don't want to confess it. Don't want to see it as sin. Gluttony is hardly ever repented of by food lovers. His time, his money, his pleasure is spent on eating. It's impossible to repent of something you really love. You know, that's what the work of regeneration does. It opens your eyes and helps you to see things like God sees it. I mean, it helps you get a picture of that which you thought was so innocent, to see how rebellious it is toward a holy God. These are just natural things that happen when you get saved, when you get some grace in your heart. Gluttony is a great sin because it's so frequently committed. Not only so little confessed, but it's so frequently committed. Oh, it's almost a daily practice to multitudes to eat more than their body needs. It is not a sin they seldom fall into. They're constantly overfeeding themselves. And old folks, listen to me. Just any town you want to go to testifies that people have a lot of respect for eating because there's restaurants everywhere. Every kind of food, even this little rinky-dink town, they keep a moving in here. Applebee's, that beer joint over there. Sagebrush, that kind of place. Like all them other places up there in Charlotte, like that backyard mess and all that stuff, out back in hellish places where drunks hang around, you smell of rot in the place, you're around a bunch of devils in there spending $15, $20 a plate. We're getting them right here in Albemarle. And buddy, they ain't moving in here thinking they ain't going to make no money. I go by the place over there on Tuesday night, man, it's full. Hey, not on Friday night. I don't know what it is on Friday night. But on Tuesday night, it's already full of these people. The boys ride the towns to satisfy their appetites. You know, gluttony is a spreading sin. And because it spreads, it becomes a very common sin in all countries. The rich and poor alike are guilty of this sin. Both of them love their bellies, though both of them don't have the same provisions to supply their belly. The wealthy man has more provision. See, some in this building, you have more money to spend on eating than others do. But no doubt all of us are alike in one thing. We love to eat. You may can't afford to spend but $5 on your plate come Friday night, but somebody else can spend 10, some people can spend 50, and some people can spend 100, but we're all alike in one thing. Oh, it's a common sin of eating more than your body needs. They will not take warning one from another, but they're encouraged by each other to fill their bellies beyond reason. They sit in there, and before they begin to feed their bellies, they take out their coffer of pills and begin to pop them so they'll be able to live long enough to get another belly full come the next day. How sad that is. This sin is scarcely noticed or ever mentioned in this prosperous age we live in. I've been saved 21 years. I ain't never heard nobody preach a whole message on gluttony, or overeating, or eating in excess. Oh, I've seen a lot of people promoting diets. The most diets I've ever seen promoted is you can eat all you want. Same old God dishonoring sin. But eat all you want. We found a miracle solution. How many people send off another $10 or $1.95 in the stamp out there to get another lie that you eat all you want and be the size you want to be? It just don't work. And if it did work, you're still going to die of disease. If you got down to the physique you've always dreamed about, which you wasn't born to have to start with, so I'd give up if I was you. If you ever got down to that, you're going to die with a disease. You say, I can eat all I want to of this, and I tell you one thing, I just don't have to stop. I don't want to. I don't gain 1 pound, but you're gaining a disease. God has fixed it so all of us must practice temperance. You folks that ain't but that big around, you got to practice temperance.
us is this big around, we've got to practice temperance. Nobody gets on the scales and says, well, I've lost a whole pound. Let's go to the buffet tonight. Just remember, the next buffet, you're going to pay that big price and just be able to eat what you need. That's going to be almost sickening. Matter of fact, if there's ever time in your life when you feel like I'm getting in your businesses right now. I mean, you already can see the K&W line. And you're already ready. So instead of having five dishes, you need to cut down to three. And that almost takes the zeal out of your heart from going to K&W. If I can't go up there and get me the steak and the rice and the gravy and the beans and the okra and the macaroni and the cream potatoes and all of that, I just ain't worth it up there. And then the biggest piece of pie, you know, some people they'll reach way over and tell me, hand me this piece and slide this one around and knock two or three off of the floor because it was too small. Oh, yeah, boy, listen to me, it's a sin that's scarcely ever mentioned. And by the way, God help us preachers. Man, we have been one poor excuse in this area of gluttony. There are very few preachers that will reprove it and encourage the people to get your reason back in control of your appetite and grab your appetite by the nape of the neck and put it under your foot and tell it from now on out for the rest of the journey, reason is going to control what you eat. Most, by persuasion and example, encourage gluttony. Even in small children, allowed to cram and pack and eat strange and eat any time and any place and all this kind of stuff. Oh, it's not a rare sin. Nor is it a little sin. It's a great sin against the Holy God, because when we let our appetite control our eating, we're bowing to the flesh. We're worshiping the grand idol. Gluttony is a sin that goes against all 10 commandments. Not one of the commandments you can think of that gluttony don't oppose. Riches or poverty will not excuse it. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, he said, woe be unto people and the princes when they eat out of season. In other words, they eat just to be eating. Gluttony was one of the great sins, remember, of sodomy. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. Second one was fullness of bread. Eating too much. We can be sure that America will also be judged for this sin. Why? She's full of bread tonight. Full. Now I want to give you some directions and helps against this sin of gluttony. The first direction I want to give you is we must mortify the flesh. Mortify means to subdue it by abstinence. You got to cut it off. You got to cut it off. I know I used to hear a preacher say, Lee Robertson, I heard him say he never ever has went back for a second of anything. Now, buddy, that's character. Abstinence. No flesh. You may want it. It may smell so good you can't hardly stand it. It may be like that strawberry-covered cheesecake Monday night. It made you boys lick your tongue till it was raw. But you have to learn to say, flesh, you don't need but so much of that. You can't have it. Hey, listen to me. You know what I've been told to me? If I want it, I'm supposed to have it. That was appetite ruling, not reason. Mortify. We must subdue the inclinations of the flesh when they do not bring glory to God. We must learn to value and use the flesh. You see, your flesh will subdue itself when it's trying to bring glory to God. Just try to lift your hand up and praise God one time. Flesh says, don't do that. Oh, no. Don't you stand up and say, preacher, you know, I'm one of them devils in here that had my hands on that rock, on that country music or some other kind of rock music, and I listened to that stuff and filled my ears with it. I got up here and sung about Jesus while I was listening to it and sung right along while you said amen to me, and I was soaking in that stuff, praise God, like a dry rag soaks in water. Your flesh say, don't do that. Oh, no, don't tell nobody that. We must learn to value and use the flesh as a servant of God. Think what a pitiful price a little gluttonous pleasure of throat is for a man to sell his soul and everything and forsake God to bow to that flesh. Learn to be indifferent to whether your food is pleasing. You know, for years, if I don't like it, I don't eat it. I just always do it. It didn't have nothing to do with what is good for you or what you need. You know when people start eating what they don't like? Right after they just about died. Then they come out one of these sheets. They get walking around with a carrot stuck in the front pocket and gnawing on it. Now, why? The flesh, you say, how can they do it then? Oh, the flesh has got scared. The flesh don't want to die. Even though everything it does moves you toward death. But it's a paradox. It don't want to die. So it'll even chime in then. But as soon as it gets you fed a little better, it'll pull you right back to the same old ditch again. Bad eating habits. Learn to be indifferent whether your food be pleasing to your appetite or not. Make no great matter out of it. Remember what an awful swinish and damning sin it is for a man's heart to be set upon his belly. The Bible said, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. The second direction against this gluttony, first, you got to mortify. You got to make it abstinence. You ain't going to have it. No, you go to the buffet and there it is, a big old, big, nice, juicy pile of macaroni and cheese, and you reach over and say, I think I'll eat broccoli. And I know if you're a broccoli lover, that don't sound like a great sacrifice song. You see me take a piece of broccoli over a nice, juicy pile of macaroni and cheese, you know I done subdued the flesh. The second direction against this sin of gluttony, live faithful to God. Keep your heart upon spiritual lives. Hey, that's the durable and lasting. Oh, listen to me. If you keep your heart upon spiritual lives, then you'll eat and drink to your higher end. See, we eat and drink to be full and to belch and to sit back and say, oh, that was good, and hopefully we can get enough room to slide in a little more. But it's a higher end to it. Well, much higher end. Well, listen to me, folks. Our higher end is to make our bodies serviceable to God. If we beg God for the food and the blessing of it in His hand, this will help restrain us not to use it against Him. If we say, Lord, please provide our food and please bless it, that'll keep us from putting the excess in there and getting ourselves sick where we don't feel like serving God. He is a wretch indeed who would take his food from his father's hand and throw it in his face. The man that thinks he owes it to himself for his plenty, oh, he'll say like the fool of the Bible, I've laid up for me and I've got to build me this, that, and other. But the man that sees his plenty is from God will try to use it reverently for the glory of God. It's a horrible aggravation of the sin of gluttony this age we live in. Men play the hypocrite. First, they say, God bless me. God blesses them, and then they sit right down with the blessing and sin against God Almighty and try to get everybody in the room to sin right along with them in the matter of eating. A serious discerning of God as the giver would teach us whether we eat or drink or whatever we do. You think God has given us, given me a plenty of food so I could overeat, have a bad testimony, mind not be clear, not be able to think as straight, not be able to be as wise, not be as have as much wisdom as I could have? Why, certainly God never gave me money to buy food, to put excess in my body, to breed diseases. But I played the fool and done just that. The fourth direction I want to give you against gluttony is this. See by faith the blood of Christ as the purchasing cause of all, everything you've got has been given to you through Christ. Romans 8:32 says that. The more you bear reverence His blood, then, hey, you'll be careful not to cast His blessings down the sink of sensuality, just wasting away. Must Christ be a sacrifice to God? Must Christ die to recover you and I the mercies which we forfeited? And then will we take those same mercies that Christ died to regain and throw them back in the face of God with a sinful appetite? Well, listen to me, folks. We shouldn't at all think like that. We ought to be ashamed of it. He didn't purchase provisions for our lust so that we may serve our bodies. He provides us so that we might serve Him all the days of our life. The fifth direction against gluttony is remembering how the first sin came into the world. The first sin came into the world by eating. Ain't that something? Eating. No wonder God said, therefore, what do you eat? First sin came upon man by eating the forbidden fruit. Oh, listen to me. And how many poor creatures have been slain because of our sin. And I'm not talking about their carcass to cover up our sin. Their dead hide of an animal can't do nothing to my sin. I'm talking about how many of them creatures have been eaten in excess and through gluttony and never having given a thought to the first sin that ever entered the world came through eating. Every piece of flesh you put on your plate, if you'll think about it, it's the first sin came through eating to have caution written right on it. When you look at that big chicken breast, it'll have caution in big letters. But I could so easily sin right here at this table. The same sin that threw the whole human race into iniquity had to do around the table. Eating. Every time you devour a piece of flesh, it's the fruit of that sin. This should warn us to be temperate. We should not revel to excess in our fellow creatures' lives, our animals. Direction number 6 against gluttony. Keep an obedient, tender conscience. Not perplexing yourself about every little bit you eat. Just keep a check on your appetite. Keep in mind the commands of God. This will teach you to fear excess. It's a graceless, disobedient, senseless heart that makes men boldly, deliberately obey their appetites. If the fear of God is not in our hearts, no wonder we feast and feed without fear. It said those in Jude, these are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, feeding themselves without fear. They are guilty of making a small matter out of sin, especially the sin of gluttony. The same persons who are given to their appetites also have no fear in spending their time in idleness, vanity, and all they care. They can never be convicted about living to satisfy the lust of their flesh. This belly is a brute that does not desire reason to be a control. See, your belly wants you to give it what it wants. It don't want you to say, now, belly, God has made me a human. And I have God and bound to give you what you need instead of what you want, belly. Belly will say, oh, no, it won't hurt this time. Come on now. Don't do that. Hey, no, 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 don't get that apple. Don't, no, no, leave that alone. Oh, get that cheesecake. And I know if you don't like cheesecake, I know. God bless you. God bless you. That's some good stuff. My belly would call for peace every 2 or 3 hours if I had it around the house. Anything will serve to make it lawful to take in whatever you want to, especially when your conscience gets seared and think that, buddy, God gave us food, He gave us an appetite, and the two ought to get together as many times a day as possible. There's no disputing the case when a man is sleepy in the mind. Hey, when a man's asleep in the mind, his guts and appetite are wide awake. You can't convince him. Buddy, when he's living to satisfy his gut, you talk you blue in the face, he ain't going to hear you. He only hears it when the fella comes out and he's got his white suit on. He says, sit down. Well, we've found some problems. And I think you're going to be pretty much dead in the next 90 days if you don't change pretty quick. Oh, he wakes up then. A preacher can't wake him up, man. Can't anybody else wake him up? Your wife can't wake you up. Your husband can't wake you up. Anything will beat down. Reason, you see. Hey, you might as well bring scripture and read it to a pig to keep him from overeating. Or read a scripture to your dog to keep him from pouncing on a good meaty bone. Then you had to try to reason with a man that's being controlled by his appetite. He just don't want to hear it. A glutton grows to master his conscience by unbelief, or he steals it by stupefying it, by filling to the excess and breeding diseases in his body. His taste is in control rather than his reason. His taste fights against it. That's what I want. What do you got a taste for? Usually some junk. And usually when you get a good taste, boy, you get to thinking about it and get to smelling it cooking. And boy, you're going there and eat to the excess. Hey, I just love you folks. I'll tell you one thing. I just like to see you live with a little longer, with some quality life. Amen.
Like I say, I'm not going to personally pick on you about your food. I'm not going to try to encourage you to eat two or three heifers and all down at my house and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to watch people. I'm going to count your plates. I'm just saying this is what God showed me, and I hope you'll pay some attention to it so you can keep your seat there in the church house and you won't be all laid somewhere dying and withering away because of gluttony. The man whose belief has been beat down, he thinks gluttony is a good thing to please his appetite. Oh, what could be wrong with that, preacher? As a swine feels like he's done himself good when he's eat that slop till he's about to bust. And he lays over there like a pig and just grunts. Ooh, 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 ooh. Your wife said, what do you say? You say nothing. Making all them piggish noises. Then, when the glutton sacrifices time and treasure to his belly, you know what he does? He'll make a joke out of those that try to practice temperance. I've done that. What a shame. What a disgrace to a holy God. Trying to make light of people. And when people try to have proper eating habits, you know what I think? Oh, they're needlessly afflicting themselves. That's right. That's what the glutton thinks. He just think, what's wrong? I mean, they just missing out on a big part of life. God done put all this food out here, and they want to chew and prune all their life. I mean, I just can't figure that out. They just putting themselves into torment. That's the way a glutton feels. Oh, if we'd get the fear of God in our hearts and the determination to obey Him, then the appetite wouldn't be so unruly. If the conscience is not the doorkeeper, your throat will open for anything that it likes. But it'll be wide open if your conscience don't remind you that if you want to feel good when you're 60, you better eat right when you're 40. And you young people in here, if you want to feel good when you get 40, you better go ahead and eat right when you're 20. And if you little ones in here don't want to lay in the bed when you're 20 every chance you get, you might ought to go ahead and eat right now that you're 4, 5, or 6 years old. One side of heaven or hell would waken our reason and our sleepy conscience and convince us of the awfulness and danger of this sin of eating to the excess. Oh, listen to me, folks. It won't be long here. I'm going to preach on another time or two. We're going to quit and get off of it and get on something else. And it won't be long. If the Lord tarries and we live, it'll be March, April, May, and June, and July, and August. But I pray we'd all let some impression of this sink in on us. And ask God to help us be serious-minded about it and help us to develop some appetites to eat some things that will be helpful to us instead of detrimental. I mean, listen to me, folks. Just a lot of things are not nutritious enough to just feed on. And so we have to be honest in this, because all of it relates back to what is the best so that I might be able to serve God to my maximum. What can I eat and what weight do I need to be so that I can serve God with vigor, alertness, and vitality is what I need to determine for myself. And I need to practice more and more of saying appetite. I know what you like to have. Oh, throat, I know what you like to slide down. But I must give you that which you need. And folks, especially so when we get a problem. When you get a problem, it's time to try to take in whatever's good for that problem and whatever will be helpful to try to turn that disease or at least subdue it for another season or two, rather than just putting in stuff that would just feed it and make it grow enormous faster. But it's going to take some real God-given conviction that's necessary for us to eat what we need to eat. And then when we eat, not to eat in the excess, not to put more in than your body can rightfully take care of at any given time. You see, that's the danger of not eating all day long. If you ain't careful, you'll sit down at one time and the mindset will be, well, I ain't had nothing today. Well, still, I don't care how much you ain't had, your body's still only capable of handling a certain amount. So you got to be careful getting on these crazy kind of eatings. Well, I'm just going to eat one time, and I'm just going to do this, and then. But I found out I'm so hungry that I just can't hardly wait to that meal, and then there again, I just jump in, and eat more than I need to eat.
I mean, you got to come up. I don't know what your method will be, but you got to come up with something that's a way of life, something that'll help you in every way to be temperate, have reasonable control, and above all, not eating to the excess. You know, I mean, that's even more important than particularly picking out certain foods. It's whatever you eat, start somewhere. I mean, I don't know where I'm going. I'll tell you one thing. I'm starting now by I'm just not eating to the excess. In other words, I'm not plumb busting when I get up from the table now. I get me a share. I get me some food. I eat it. And I go ahead and get away from the table and stay away from it to the next time. And then I may go ahead and get more discipline and decide I need some more of this, and I need some more green beans, and need some more things that are, you know, kids this damn time, hey, hate beans, son. No, they don't like beans. All kind of beans, they like jelly beans. You know, you got kids now saying, I don't like that, don't like. You know, parents now are guilty, praise God, of fixing a buffet because people don't like stuff. Instead of fixing three or four items, a meat or some kind of just a couple of vegetables and a bread. Well, he don't like this, and that don't like this. Just fix something for that, and you just foul it up. You need to put it down on the table and say, this is what we're having today. And I know you, Henry, today's the day that you can't eat for your appetite. You just have to eat because you're supposed to eat, because you don't like the food we're having. But maybe tomorrow it'll be something you like. And when we fix something you like, then we'll eat because reason tells us to, and we'll have to ignore our appetite. But it shouldn't be this buffet kind of suffers. Fix this, and he don't like this, and he don't like that, and they don't like it like that, and he can't stand it, and he can't stand that. That's not good. That's not good. And I'll tell you one thing, what does everybody like? They like junk food. You ain't going to find a kid that don't like to get in McDonald's. You know, like a kid, they like to get to Burger King. They like to get over there to the Sonic. They like to get to that Pizza Hut. Oh, they love that pizza. Put a plate of beans in front of them, some tomatoes, and some okra. You're not eating much. I'm just not hungry today, Dad. Just trying to cut back. Go up in the room, find crumbs and paper wrap and stuff laying around all up under the bed. Where he got up at night and finally broke it out like a rat in the dark, son. Rolled out that goodies and eat there and satisfied theirself. Hey, we better be careful. I hope God helps me to stay sincere and honest about it, because I don't deserve to live another year. But hopefully, if I truly repent and try to set myself right, God may have a little mercy on me. And let me be able to function and operate in such a way that I can continue to pastor and help people out and not die an untimely death. What did you know, son? What happened to him? He ate himself to death. Who dug his grave? He did with his own teeth. That's a poor testimony. But how many could that be said of tonight? And the way I was going, that could be rightfully said about me, and it wouldn't even be criticism. It'd be just the honest truth. But by the grace of God, I'm trying to change. Amen. Let's bow our head. Father, help us tonight, dear Jesus. Help us to see the awfulness of pleasing the flesh. Lord, quicken us. Lord, I know that I've started. I've made some progress, but God, don't help me not to think I've got to the place I need to be. A little here and a little there, I pray you'll help me to see the necessity of trying to take care of my body. I've so abused it. I've ignored it. And Lord, I've done wrong with the blessings of God. But I pray by the good grace of God, I'll live a different life. I'll do better my rest of my days. And Lord, I pray you'll help me to think about others, Lord, that may not have. It's a plenty. And Lord, maybe to slide a little more in the mission offerings to help some missionary on some field that, Lord, don't have a lot of extra to give away to some hungry people. I just pray you'll help us all, Lord, and I pray you'll help everybody. I want everybody to be healthy. Lord, we don't want no trouble. We don't want no sickness. We don't want no, Lord, whitening of the eyes and moanings and groanings. And Lord, I know we'll get it sooner or later, but help us not to bring it on ourselves in an untimely way. Help us to get reason back, pull it back to the top, and make appetite bow to it. And I pray in Christ's name.
Amen. Such as common sin, friend, eating in excess, satisfying that flesh, that appetite, eating that which the belly says would be good, instead of reason looking at it and saying, wait a minute, you don't need that. You don't need that quantity. You don't need that quality. Remember, God did give us reason. He didn't give it to us by sticking in our back pocket. He gave it to us and let it rule and reign based on the teachings of the Word of God. We must be determined to live to our higher end, which is to please God. Look at every dad that's got any kids want to see his grandkids. Every mom that's got a daughter wants to be able to make a dress or something for a granddaughter. Well, we ought not be able to if we don't take care of ourselves. God has certain laws, and those laws we must abide in. And I know that no matter what I do, I cannot make hell, but I can use the means God gives me to let Him bless us. You take a heathen son, he eats right all he wants to, and God ought to kill him with a heart attack before he gets 40. And I know it don't just stop. Well, if I eat right, I'm going to live to be 100. No, we're going to eat right and please God. Let Him just have the issue of things of how long we live. But when we leave here, we just want to be honoring God. And we don't want to be laying somewhere one day all sick and dried up and just a burden to society. And look back and say, man, I heard the preaching on the preacher, and I know it is right, but I didn't pay no attention to it, and now I've absolutely destroyed my health by eating to the excess, drinking to the excess, folks. This is a swilling generation on them drinks, man. They're sucking down more of them drinks than you'll ever know. These people can't live without them drinks. I don't listen to me, folks. I could preach another 8 sermons on drinks. I ain't going to mess with it this time. I'm just telling you. You better watch out pouring all them drinks down you, too many of them. And I don't know what too many is, and I don't even want to set no number. I'm telling you, you better watch out excess in drinking them soft drinks. That tea. That sugar-loaded lemonade. And all of that stuff at the same time despising the drink God gave us. Water's almost... But in reality, water is the only thing that will really satisfy your thirst and quench it. It's a good, clean, cold glass of water. And all this other stuff is just flesh pleasing. It has nothing in it that's any good except something to stir up your appetite. And very seldom does a glass of water call for a candy bar to go with it. But I'll tell you one thing, a Mountain Dew or a Coke or a Pepsi or your favorite beverage, it'll call for something to slide down there with it. And just, misery loves company. May God help us. Father, we thank You tonight for Your kindness. Thank You for all Your blessings. And pray You'll help us to be faithful in this particular subject tonight. And Lord, I'm ignorant a whole lot, and I still a lot of things I don't know. But I'm glad You revealed this much to me. And Lord, I believe because You want to help me. Lord, that's so wonderful just to think about You want to help me after I've been unruly these years and after I've been light about it and You still want to help me. I'm just overwhelmed with that. But I thank You for it, and I pray You'd bless it. And I pray in Christ's name. Amen.